This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
We've got on the phone Bruce Peterson, who is the CEO of a company that's looking at, well, got the Da Vinci exhibition
at Loom
at the moment. Welcome to the show, Bruce.
Thank you. How are you both?
Very well, thanks.
Now, we were looking at reading your bio. I suppose there's so many, that's what's got David excited. There's so many things that you've been up to. But before we actually talk about the exhibition itself, we obviously want to hear a little bit about you, Bruce. How did you, now I noticed that you started off as a PE teacher. But how did you go from a PE teacher to organizing Da Vinci exhibitions, basically?
Well, Quite a long story, but I'll try to keep it very short. Look, I taught for about 5 years, and just found that I was looking for more, and I entered into a few businesses of my own, and then I really started in the arts cultural area in 2006 when I moved to Italy with my young family because I saw an opportunity to create and develop the most comprehensive exhibition on Leonardo da Vinci.
Can I hold you up there? Yeah. Bruce, why Leonardo da Vinci? Why him?
Well, it was quite opportunistic. I had a very good friend who introduced me to a group of Italian artisans who had started to develop machine inventions on Leonardo.
Yep.
But they were small models that they'd created from his codices. And I really just got fascinated by the subject matter, and I ended up bringing that exhibition at the time.
I saw it. Yeah, I loved it. I was so impressed. Yeah, I'd read a lot about it, but seeing the actual models was just so exciting and so, you know, like, what a genius that the man was.
Yeah, look, and I think that's what got me really excited because whilst the exhibition that we brought here was very successful, I started to get involved in learning and understanding about Leonardo more and more, and I thought, wow, this could be so much more.
Mm.
And so that's what led me to Italy, because there's so many facets of Leonardo. He's obviously the greatest artist that the world knows, with Mona Lisa and The Last Supper, and many would also know the Vitruvian Man, but fewer people really know his work in science, his inventions, engineering, right through to musician and costume making.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, I've learned something. But, you know, like, Bruce, the one thing that really gets me, you know, he invented a helicopter, a submarine, you know, like how to breathe underwater, all these things that, you know, like hundreds of years before anyone else came up with it. You know, like, it's extraordinary man. And then the artist as well, as you said, the Mona Lisa, the Last Supper, what an extraordinary man.
Look, I think Steve Jobs actually described it best, which was, you know, the blending of his creativity with the science and innovation together was quite extraordinary. And he was very much without peer in his Italian Renaissance days, but even today, just the breadth and depth of the fields that he worked in. And he really did believe that mechanical flight would be possible in his lifetime, and he sort of died a little bit disappointed that he never got there.
Hundreds of years before we got there. So what was his upbringing? What was he like as, you know, like, you would know this because you're so learned about him these days. Where was he brought up?
Yeah, well, look, I think his background was really what led him to be the genius that we know of him. He was born in a small town outside of Florence, about 25 kilometres outside of Florence. But interestingly, he was born illegitimate. He was born out of wedlock, and at the times you weren't then afforded an education. So unlike his peers, he never got to be the scholar through the church system or learn Latin. So he was very much self-taught by looking at nature and understanding nature. But his father wasn't a dummy. His father was a notary, and he would have taught Leonardo a lot, you know, through his upbringing. But Leonardo developed this curiosity that is off the charts, really. He just wanted to learn everything that there was to learn. And anything that was written in a book, he wanted to either prove or disprove. And that was really his lifelong ambition.
Yeah. Wow. You know, like, just incredible, you know, that mind that wants to learn and learn and learn. And how did he become well-known, per se? You know, like, was it in his lifetime that the Mona Lisa became famous and the Last Supper?
He was anointed the master artist of Florence at a very tender age of 17. He went to work in Verrocchio's studio and he painted an angel on a picture that all the students contributed to, and Verrocchio put his paintbrush down and said, I can't do that.
It's
exceptional. And so he really, from a very, very early age, gained a reputation as an artist, but he didn't want to be an artist. He wanted to learn. He wanted to experiment. He wanted to really understand how the human body works, how birds fly, how water moves, and painting became quite a distraction, and he'd never really finish anything. So he still had to earn money. So what he actually did was quite clever.
Yeah.
He sold his services to the Medicis in Florence and the Sforzas in Milan, both as an event producer, where he would produce all the big parties and events for the Medici families, and
Whoa.
He would write music, and he'd design the costumes, and he'd play the instruments and develop the stage and the stage props and everything that would go on. But he also developed himself into a military strategist, because this enabled him to earn money as a patron of these great families, but allowed him the ability to study and learn while still providing a service to them.
Wow, such a clever man. But the fact is that we look at the Mona Lisa how it's been studied over the years. What's going on way behind, with the landscape, what's developing there is fascinating, the stories behind that as well.
Yes, well, that's one of the really exciting parts that's coming to the loom in Melbourne with Leonardo da Vinci 500 Years of Genius, is we have a whole section on the Mona Lisa. Now, when I went to Italy and was studying Leonardo, I obviously went to the Louvre. And to be frank, I was really quite amazed at how underwhelming the experience was for so many people. You know, 10 million people raced up to the second floor and take a peek at her, and she's from too far away, she's too small,
she's
not good looking. And they would just walk away going, really? Because all the Louvre gives them is a plaque which says La Gioconda, Leonardo da Vinci, 1503 to 1506, that's it.
Yeah.
Now, that painting is an absolute masterpiece when you understand the painting, and that's what we do at the exhibition. And so if you rock along to the loom in Melbourne, you will understand why the Mona Lisa is the most incredible piece of art in the world today.
Yeah, yeah. And also you mentioned the Last Supper as well, which was sort of hidden away. You know, it was painted on a wall, wasn't it?
It was, yes, in the church in Milan. And again, it was quite groundbreaking at the time, because he did a number of things that were quite different to any Last Suppers before this one. The most relevant, I think, is that this was the first piece of art in motion. So Leonardo was capturing all the apostles at that very moment when Jesus pronounced, one of you shall betray me. And it was quite extraordinary, because he spent years in the markets and streets of Milan looking at facial expressions that he could then transfer onto the various apostles.
Yeah. Wow. But then the other exciting thing about loom that you're bringing to is these pieces of paper with some of his ideas that are only allowed to come out for a short time because they're so old and they'll just disintegrate. Tell us about them.
Yes, very, very exciting for the loom, for Victoria, for Australia, because I've been working for over 10 years to gain access to Leonardo's what's called Codex Atlanticus, which is a collection of his writings and drawings and sketches that are housed in the Biblioteca Ambrosiana in Milan. but they don't loan them out very often. Mm. They've only been loaned out to some of the major institutions like the V&A in London, the Met and the Louvre. And so we've got pages coming to Melbourne, but you're absolutely right. They can only be on display for 90 days before they go back to Milan and then go dark again for 3 to 5 years.
Wow.
They're so fragile and really priceless because they're over 500 years of age and they're capturing all his thoughts, not just in words, and I'll talk about the words just quickly in a sec, but a lot of his images and sketches about what was going through his mind, he captured down on paper. Now, his words were very interesting for people because he wrote in mirror image on right to left on the page. He was left-handed, you see.
Yeah.
But he wrote in a very old Florentine dialect and with an abbreviation form that he created himself. So no one could really look at his work and understand it. So many would say, look, that was the early form of secret that he was trying to keep from everybody from stealing his work, but most likely it was so he didn't smudge the ink on the page.
Yeah. I'm a left-hander, and I know that growing up, you know, like how you would smudge as you'd be writing. But yes. Bruce, excuse me, but what the hell have you got these pieces? Why have they let you bring them here? I thought they were going to be on the screens along with all his art and stuff, but they're actually here in Melbourne?
Yeah, they are. They're acclimatising right at this moment. We had to produce a special room that is humidity controlled, light controlled, and temperature controlled, as well as obviously the high security that goes along with it.
Yeah.
But I've been working on Leonardo for 18 years, and we've taken Leonardo to around about 115 cities globally. But when I established the loom, the one experience that we had created that I really, really wanted to bring to Melbourne and show off in all its glory was Leonardo da Vinci, and this is by far the biggest, most comprehensive display on Leonardo that you will see anywhere in the world.
Whoa. And for those that don't know what the loom is, you actually walk through it, or you can sit there, and it's all on huge screens, isn't it? And it's just, you become immersed in it.
Yes, exactly right. It's a different style for those that haven't been there before. We project it four stories high. There is a cinematic production that takes us years to create on Leonardo and the Italian Renaissance. It's all set to music and everything is in sync. There's aroma throughout. We have a Cafe Medici, set up inside.
Wow.
They can actually sit there and have a glass of wine or a cocktail or a coffee and a croissant and be immersed in the world of Leonardo whilst in there. And we also have interactives. We have AI, we have AR, we have VR, all the usual acronyms that now go with all the tech things. So plenty to keep the kids amused.
Right, well. Okay. I'll bugger the kids. You know, like, this is for me, it's not for the kids. But where are these pages with through all of this? Are they in a separate room or are they somewhere
we've created a separate room for the Codex Atlanticus and the pages that are coming. And again, as I said, it's environmentally controlled and secure. And then every 90 days, we will change over the pages.
Wow.
So some will be escorted back to Milan and new ones escorted to us for the duration.
Bruce, I think it's absolutely astounding what you do, and congratulations on what you do. This is, you know, like groundbreaking. And do you know what? While I've been talking to you, you know, I'm getting goosebumps, you know, like just talking with you, because it's just so wonderful what you're doing. And do you, you must pinch yourself and think, I can't believe that I am doing this.
Yeah, well, it's been an interesting life. I now own a private museum on Leonardo da Vinci in Rome, and we're back there all the time, and he's certainly been a subject matter that I've been very passionate about for a long time. And look, it is exceptional. It's not just marketing speak. This is something that is very rare coming to Australia. It's also a chance of inspiration for people, which I think is needed at the moment. Now, Leonardo lived in a time of great challenge, and I think we do as well. And given his lack of formal education and a different look on how the workings of the world around him, I think we could do with a little bit of that sort of inspiration today, and it's encouragement for everybody to come along, draw some inspiration from a great figure in the past, learn something, as well as be entertained, and then look at applying some of those things in your own life, or your own business, or your own family.
Absolutely. And this is a wonderful thing, Greek mythology and as well, is that it reoccurs, you know, like it was way back then, but it's typical, you know, like it's right now as well. Shakespeare is another one. But I've got a question I've got to ask you. Has your wife and children, you know, gone running, screaming away from you? Or, you know, like, how are they coping with this obsession you have?
Yeah, sometimes I'll get the eye roll, but mostly they're 40. Look, they've been able to travel all around the world, so I shouldn't complain too much. But, they've been extremely supportive. They've shared a lot of the passion. Each of my children have worked in the business at some stage or other, even though they're very young. I used to take them all on a business trip with me when they were in year seven, and they would sit in all the meetings and all the dinners and listen and learn. And, and they've been part of that journey all their life because... Yeah, I'm very much of the attitude that art and culture is for all people, and it's for all people to understand and enjoy, and it needs to be democratized, and it needs to be inclusive, and that had to start at home. And so with the family, they've become to appreciate Leonardo and the Salvador Dalis and the Vincent van Goghs, and yeah, not to an obsessive point, and not to the
not like dad.
I am with the business, but. But certainly, they've been an instrumental part. And they're also a good, they're a good reality check.
There are certain things
I'm of an age and generation now that perhaps doesn't see things the way that the younger ones are seeing it. And how we present these timeless masterpieces is all important. Now, Leonardo's not going out of fashion or out of vogue. He's been around for 500, he'll be around for another 500 years. But how we present to the audiences is what the difference is, and we need to look at the younger ones to give us that guidance.
And now the Loom is at the Convention Centre, Melbourne Convention Centre, is that right?
It is. It's at the DFO end, or right next door to the Novotel. So if you do come down, don't go to the Clarendon Street end, or you're in for a 5 kilometre walk to the other end. So do come to the... Don't come to the DFO end, and the Loom is set up permanently there with its own entrance and box office, and we open on Saturday, March
the 16th. Right, brilliant. Well, again, congratulations on what you're doing. Can't wait to see this this exhibition. You've won me over, and you're such a nice guy with it as well. So your poor family having to put up with you, but good on you.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for having me on. And I've been fortunate to be on your program a couple of times with past experiences, and I'm happy you invited me on again to share Leonardo. So thank you.
Good on you.
Thank you so much. We've been talking to Bruce Peterson here about the Da Vinci exhibition at the Loom starting on the 16th of March. You're here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.